7:42 on a Wednesday morning. Dr. Julie Galthorpe, Mixed Nations Family Therapist, joining us this morning in Studio 97. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, your topic today is about Instagram, Facebook, social media, the harming it's doing to everyone. I know you got youth, but...
To everyone. Yeah. You know, on the heels of a lawsuit launched by dozens of states against the parent company for Instagram and Facebook, in which they accuse them of deliberately harming young people by designing features that addict children, this morning we're diving into how to parent in the digital age.
We'll get into that after Taylor Swift, Lover. On the mix. It's Taylor Swift on Mix 97 today with Dr. Julie Galthorpe. We're talking about social media. I just happened to check Taylor Swift's Instagram account. She has 283 million followers. She follows no one, and she has posted 638 times.
She doesn't need to follow anybody.
That's right.
She's Taylor.
Not even her boyfriend, Travis.
Well, she follows him in real life. Why does she need to follow?
She's protecting her brain.
Yeah. So I think a lot of parents listening this morning on their way to work will be able to relate. Raising kids in a time when technology rules. Mm-hmm. Those questions like, how closely should I monitor my son or daughter's phone use? How much screen time is too much? These are things that parents struggle with, I think, on an hourly basis.
Doctor. Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. You know, they're big questions. There is undeniable evidence at this point that kids have become addicted to their phones. I think some adults as well. And as a result, though, children have not learned to calm their emotions and self-regulate. Higher screen time is related to higher rates of OCD, so obsessive-compulsive disorder, among preteens. And high levels of screen time is also related to frequent intensive emotional outbursts. You could ask teachers about that one. Because of this research, some advocates are encouraging parents to toss the devices entirely. But given these concerns and the addictive behavior we are seeing in kids, parents are at a loss of what to do.
It's a huge balancing act. Like, I have a 13-year-old, and he loves his electronics. Mm-hmm. You have to figure out the fine line of being able to trust them on their electronics and what not to trust them with. How do some parents, like, they're concerned about what's happening on the device or the amount of time, but they also don't want to fight with their kids every night. Like, I don't want to fight with them every night going to bed and, you know, doing that stressful. What is something that we can do about that?
Well, we have to be mindful about this. So I often get people to have open conversations about this so that we're looking at, to be effective and help with self-regulation, you need to focus on helping your kids understand why you're monitoring. So why you're monitoring is because, first of all, privacy is important. So we want them to know that they're safe. We want them to trust us. And while some parents might be concerned what's happening on the device or the amount of time the device is being used, we don't want to fight every night with kids, as you said. So monitoring time, according to research, that's about what half parents do. They are monitoring the time their kids are on the phone. About half of them are looking through their teen's phone. So we would say maybe snooping or monitoring. And just under half the teens were aware that this was happening, so that the parents are looking to see what kids are up to. Parents do pull back on that by the time kids hit the 15 to 17 year age range, but safety still remains a concern.
I don't know how many parents can get away with going through their kids' phone, though.
Right. I don't go through Gabe's phone. He has a phone, and we limit what we put on that phone. So he can only reach certain things on that phone. I just think it's going to cause so many arguments.
Yeah, it does. And like I said, about half people do it. Half of the parents that were surveyed do this. I actually had a conversation when I was looking at this topic with another therapist that works with me, Kristen, and both of us said we did not go through our kids' phones. She still has young kids. She doesn't go through their phones. But if we did have concerns, we would approach them directly and say, hey, like, I have some concerns about what's happening. We need to take a look.
Yeah, we'll be back with more with Dr. Julie Galthorpe here on the Rixton on Mix 97. Dr. Julie Galthorpe on a beautiful Wednesday morning in Mix Nation, talking about a study that came out of the U.S. about youth and their social media habits. And this study showed that teens who self-reported being constantly online were more likely to argue with their parents about their phone usage and how many hours. And then the teens typically will question mom or dad, why do you get your privacy and we don't?
Yeah, I'm sure most parents have heard that. So many parents respond, well, because I'm an adult. that's not the best answer. I get it that that slips out and it is true, mm-hmm. but we need to give them a deeper answer because remember, our long-term goal is to help them self-regulate. So when I bridge these issues between parents and kids, I'm just upfront. I say there's an addictive risk to these devices, just like many things that we're drawn to. But they're not good for us. We, you know, we've taught our kids to be assertive and ask questions. So you can't select when they're going to use this skill. You have to use these questions, even if they annoy you, as a teachable moment. So something like, it's my role to make sure you get up in the morning and get good sleep. These are things that are hard to put down and they're designed, we know this from evidence, to keep you on. So therefore, we need to put boundaries in place so they don't control and disrupt your life. So upfront answer to kids.
All right. So, the approach by parents to their kids, it's all about education and saying, here are the benefits, why.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So you have to talk openly. So when you do set these limits, you can get some buy-in from your kids. Just think about when you're working with someone, you want buy-in. You're not, you don't want to force them to do something because then they're not internally learning to self-regulate. How we parent overall matters when it comes to setting limits and teaching kids how to self-regulate. Remember also, you know, we've talked about seeing people out on their phones and their kids are running around, but they're focused on their phone. So many parents spend too much time on their phones. So having a family conversation about how being away from phones actually makes people happier and more content with their lives. Then we make a plan that encourages device-free activities such as family meals. Keep those phones off your tables and bedtime routine. And then you want to engage in family activities that aren't focused on screen. You know, sometimes I hear people say, well, we're having a chill day. We're just going to watch movies and stay on our devices all day. That is not a good chill day. A good chill day would be that, yeah, do that for a little bit, but then chill in a way that actually is helpful to your brain.
Okay, so one final question that I have is, so many parents are wondering how to explain why phones cause the stress. What can they tell their kids?
That's a good question, Ashley. So let them know that screen time can disrupt their sleep patterns, and that creates fatigue and irritability during the day. It gets in their way of learning. So another one that's really important that people sometimes forget, adults, you know, as well, is that there's a comparison culture that's perpetuated by social media, and that makes people feel inadequate and have low self-esteem. That further escalates stress levels. So if you look at someone who's always having what seems on the screen to be having this great life, and even though you have a great life, you're constantly comparing, you don't end up feeling good. So, and interesting, that study we just referred to also showed that kids, when they didn't have their devices, they reported feeling content and calm when they took those breaks. So that's also important. You can even tell your kids that other kids in studies have indicated that they feel better when they're off those devices.
I saw some folks a couple of days ago, young kids on Maple Drive here in Belleville, doing some old school March break. They were actually having a street hockey game.
Yeah.
I thought, beautiful. I honked the horn. Yeah, it was great. It was great seeing that.
Yeah, it is. It's good to see kids playing in a way that's good for their brain.
Thanks for the conversation. Where can people track you down, Galthorpe?
Feel free to reach us at info@drjulieGalthorperSW.com or look us up on social media at Dr. Julie Galthorpe RSW.
Thanks. Have a good week.
Have a great week.
This is birthday boy Jack Miller.
Good morning.